Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
Baby.
You look at the baby.
Let me know when we're live so they.
Oh, we're live.
Oh, okay.
Like right now, so we're going to get muted.
I'm your private dancer. Dancer for my
stream health looks good. All systems are go, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Joe. Kill that shit.
I was just going to hit my high part.
I know.
Damn it. You cut me off right at the.
Man, I am sweating like a Georgian church right now.
Oh, dear.
Jesus.
I think he called you a whore.
Is that a Georgian church?
Y'all need Jesus.
We need a private dance.
We all do need Jesus.
I'm in a thin t-shirt and shorts, and I'm still sweating. This is a problem.
Do you have under-boob sweat, though?
Yeah.
Or is that only a Joe problem?
I can feel it, like, congealing a little bit. You know what? I've got extra fans at my house because I have central air now, and I don't need them, so I'm going to bring one up here.
Okay.
We'll set one up so that we don't die.
Well, I wanted to ask real quick. Before we get started, hello.
We used to have an air conditioner.
Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we're up here doing episode 184. This is going to be Freemasonry and Scientology.
Yes, sir.
Are they compatible? We're going to learn about Scientology. We talked about it last episode. I don't know what the hell they are. But anyway, we're just kind of shooting the shit real quick here. And Joe, you had we had a meeting Thursday, which is why we didn't record. And you were there. I did not make it because I was
here.
Right. My question is, though, do you remember if we voted to get air conditioners for the wall?
We did not. It never came up.
PSK Auto. Hey, brothers. Happy Sunday from Pittsburgh.
Hey. But I can tell
Dallas
you,
as 2-3-1.
As your lead trustee, denied.
Oh, God. He's going to be that guy. Shit. That kind of trustee.
I'll sit over here with the freaking... You know what we'll do? We'll mount those, like, mist fans onto the desk.
We could do that. Or a ghetto air conditioner with like a big block of ice or dry ice with a fan behind it.
We could do that. The only problem is that would that shoot like moisture all over the electrical equipment?
Yes, and then that would destroy my rig. Yeah.
It'd be like basically us taking a bath with a toaster.
Why are you shooting moisture anywhere? That sounds unsanitary.
Anyway, episode 184, Scientology. Yeah. But first, as we always do it.
All right, let's go with new likes on Facebook. We've got Michael T. Davis, Seth Curtis, Ishmael Taleb Bubakar, Adam Huss, Josh McRae, John Doyle, M.J. Baker, David Nieves Roman, Alan Smith Jr., Hassan Halawi, Kaylin Swanson, Richard Gordon III, and Adam Jones.
Nice. Over on Instagram, where you apparently don't have to use your real name and can just put whatever gibberish you want in there, we've got Bright Light, Trey Brock, Darius L. Reeves, thank you for using your real name, Meka Lavalali, Adam P. Huss, Matt Hart, Daquan Gies, Jassis, we're going to go with Jassis, Tyler Woods, and Obiba Ashez. Thank you, brothers and friends.
I was looking, I know we have a new Amazon review, and if you could please, if you are listening and you like what we're doing, like, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It helps us out dramatically. Once we get 1,000 listeners, we'll be able to do like surveys and stuff like that. Hey, what do you want to hear? We'll be able to put in little short videos and whatnot.
But go live from our phones at remote locations.
Oh, so, yeah,
for example,
we'll be able to do all that stuff. So,
how do we get an Amazon review? Do they have a podcast page now?
No, not Amazon. A YouTube review.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, not YouTube. And I meant to say Apple review.
Oh.
So subscribe, like us on YouTube. Yeah, I fucked that all up.
That's a little different. It's like three different tech companies.
Yeah, I know. I got you. And I was looking for, but I can't seem to find it. It's not in PodCharge. It was we had a new Apple review, but it was from somebody in New Zealand. So,
I can't read the
damn thing.
Yeah, the foreign ones are difficult to find for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Thanks, Kiwis.
Yeah. Anyway, let's.
Can we toast them anyway?
Yeah, we could toast them. Hold on one second. I just want to look at something else and make sure we don't have any American ones.
Wasn't this the guy rushing us before?
I wasn't rushing.
Oh, yes. He was the one that was saying that killing him.
Come on, get started. I don't have all day. Now it's
Your computer sucks.
Let me check.
Yeah, okay. Joe and I will just run the show.
That's right. Who runs Bartertown?
That's right.
Tarwood runs Bartertown.
Joe runs Bartertown. Nah, you're up on my shoulders, man.
Anyway. Sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hope you're doing some squats.
YouTube. Let's see here. We got new likes. Or new people.
People that smash that like button.
Smash that's like right. and subscribe to us. Richard Zvanowick.
I'm sure that's
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Ernest Dominguez. And I had one other. I can't find him, though. That was no, we got him the last time. I am Seamus.
So I am Seamus, yep.
That's it. So we got on YouTube. So right. Let's do it.
Why don't you lead us off, George?
Me?
Yeah, you never do it anymore.
Delegation.
Well, we just delegated us.
This is a, there you go. Brethren, right hand arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Fire,
good fire, fire all. That's some good shit.
Oh, yeah. Bullet, man.
Together, brothers.
Viva, viva, viva.
All right. That's all I got for business. You guys.
Ooh, we look like the freaking Rockettes on here. We're in sync.
Yes, we are.
Kind of nice, huh?
Yeah.
That's nice. So I don't think I have any other orders of business or anything we need to discuss, right? You guys?
What did I do this weekend? I did some brotherly stuff this weekend. We had a work day at our temple. We did a whole bunch of work getting it ready.
Pictures
for,
of that.
Yeah. Morningstar 47 is doing their picnic coming up, and we decided that it would be a good idea to make sure that we're hosting you guys in a nice, clean venue. So that's what we did.
I heard there was going to be karaoke there.
I did not hear that.
I did.
Okay, well.
Definitely singing Dancing Queen.
That's why I was working on Private Dancer before.
And we've got plenty of space for it.
That's how I'm going to close out the night.
I think I'm going to have to do a little Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, too. That might be.
I'd love that song.
Or Bartender by Rehab. That's my other favorite.
Yeah, I can see why you like that.
And if I get a female voice, I can definitely do the male part of Bring Me to Life by Evanescence.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
We just need a girl
to do the other part.
I could hit those high notes.
We could work it out between the two of us.
I'd audition for you now, but then they'll like pause our broadcast or whatever.
Danny Sharkus, who's been on the show before, and I and another good brother from Harmony Lodge, Alex Calderon, we all went down to the Bronx, New York City, because you can do that now. You can travel around. You're all fully vaccinated. You can do it. It's amazing to be back in the city after COVID. I haven't been down there in a long time, and we went to a wonderful distillery called Port Morris Distillery.
Right.
And we picked up.
Did you meet Collins?
We did not get to meet Danny Collins.
Did you call them, though?
I did. I talked to him. Our schedules just couldn't sync up. He was watching soccer and stuff in another part of the city. But next time, we're definitely going to do that. I have to give him more notice. I only had like 6 hours of notice, so we've got to do better on that next time. But
bloody hell.
Yeah, we had some coquito. We had some delicious Latin food. It was a lot of fun. It was good to be back in the city.
Clover Style Hitman. Hey, brothers. Danny Valdez. Good afternoon, brothers. RB. Happy Sunday. Bloody day for crypto. What the hell does that mean?
Cryptocurrency, perhaps?
It's tanking. Oh, cryptocurrency is tanking. Like I said, it would. It's a pyramid scheme. It's an electronic pyramid scheme.
So many of our brothers are like into cryptocurrency, too. It's disturbing. They're talking about it on Discord. They're talking about it at Lodge.
Without even having to print anything up.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, George, but I'm not going to get into it because it's...
Yeah, no.
It'd be like a show unto itself.
Yeah, don't nerd us out.
We should start like a Masonic cryptocurrency.
For anybody who's interested,
I'm still waiting on my like Wonder Twin Power Green Lantern ring from Amity.
Yeah, they're still working on
it. Not that anybody gives a shit, but I'm going to say it anyway, just because I don't want them to think that I'm freaking lactating, but I got a tattoo on my chest from Alex
You don't even know his freaking name.
No, he doesn't use his real name. Because I want people to reach out to him if they want a tattoo.
Oh, okay.
Alex Dominus on Facebook. Yep. He does all my work, but he did a tattoo on my chest, which, by the way, hurt like a sumbitch.
Are we going to have to show that now that we have a high resolution feed here?
So no, I'm not pulling my it's all right now. So what it's doing right now is it's dry and scaling and starting to.
Are you moisturizing? Yeah, like you're
vitamin E on there, man.
No, because then I look like I'm lactating. Like I got freaking.
Yeah, that's how you also don't.
I'm
get
a man, Joe. I don't put Aveeno on my damn chest. All right. Anyway,
it's supposed to be awkward.
And next show will be from the Waterbury Hospital emergency room.
I have a room next to Danny Shark, apparently.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, he got hurt. Yeah, poor guy.
How
shout out
hurt?
To Danny. At the workday. Somebody always gets a minor injury at our workdays. I don't know if that's
they pull
the
up lame
days.
In the first 5 minutes so they don't have to work the rest of the day. Oh, I tweaked a hammy. I can't do it.
He got a bite taken out of
it.
He got a bite taken out of his finger by a hedge trimmer, so it was, you know, it was a legit
injury.
It's not
like you had that experience, Joe.
I've had plenty of people bail out of me and when heavy lifting and labor is involved.
Anyway, my chest itches. I'm not digging at my boob. I'm not lactating or anything. My chest itches like hell, so if you see me itching, that's what it is. I got new work.
Stop.
If you
want to
check it out, though, I did put up a picture of it on Twitter.
I did
put it up there, which Bill Powell immediately said, you do realize that the Discord boys are going to start making their nipple jokes now, right?
Oh, yeah. He's your Twitter troll.
Oh, we could play Battle Nips with you.
Oh, we could. Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, my God. I got to make that happen.
Son of a bitch. That was a sabotage.
I'm getting on
Noonan.
Photoshop as soon as
all
I get
right.
it.
Noonan!
Anyway.
Anywho.
Let's get into Scientology. I don't know much about it, so we're going to go through...
Travolta!
Travolta.
Yep.
Cruise.
I know the famous people who are part of it, but I don't know what the tenets of it are. So we're going to go into this, and I'm pulling this off of Wikipedia, which we all know tells the truth at all times.
What happened to Shelley Miscavige?
Vaguely peer-reviewed.
It's the best thing I got for what I got here. So their core beliefs and practices, reactive mind and traumatic memories. Jesus. All right, well, let's read about it. I don't know what the hell traumatic memories is. But...
There's a lot of psychology involved in Scientology.
All right.
Hey, we might have to increase our quick plug before you start reading, because I want to give a plug to Discord and Patreon, where as little as $5 a month you can join and get exclusive content to Patreon and our Discord page. And the reason why I bring that up, also you may get an elusive gold tone Freemasons podcast pin. Mm-hmm. I bring it up mostly because we could use a little extra money. Since George is reading more, we might need to...
Hooked on Phonics?
No, I'm thinking we might need to invest in somebody that does ASL so that we could put them up in the corner on the new rig so they can translate what the hell George is talking about.
Is that age, sex, location from like the AOL days?
No,
ASL?
It's American Sign Language.
Yeah, American Sign Language.
Or we'll just put subtitles up like they do with the guys from Tiger King. They speak English, but you can't understand.
And if you smash that like button and subscribe, you will have a chance to have George mispronounce your name.
That's a good point. All right, so reactive mind and traumatic memories. Among the basic tenets of Scientology are the beliefs that human beings are immortal and that the person's life experience transcends a single lifetime and that human beings possess infinite capabilities. Okay.
Okay. Get behind.
Scientology represents two major divisions of the mind. The reactive mind is thought to absorb all pain and emotional trauma, while the analytical mind is the rational mechanism for which is responsible for consciousness. Okay. Well, I want to unpack the first part.
Yeah, let's do that.
Human beings, in my opinion, are not immortal. The soul may be immortal, but, you know.
I think it might be variations on a theme. I'll withhold judgment on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm not shitting on their beliefs. I'm just saying, like, the body does eventually end up taking a dirt nap. The body is, you know, one of the best ways that I've ever read it. And again, I do a little bit of this, the soul searching, if you will, where I watch videos and everything. And one of the coolest things that I ever heard, which really got me thinking, was when people say, my arm hurts. Like your arm is part of you, but why are you saying my arm as if it's not part of you, right? So this would be my phone. You know,
psychological semantics, but yeah.
No, but the point being is that
you don't consider it to be part of
this body,
right?
Is just the vessel for the soul,
right? Well, I think that comes back to that's just like linguistic heritage based on the fact that, you know, in the Christian tradition, which, you know, a lot of English probably.
Well, you can't even go Christian.
Come from that.
You can't even go Christian because if you think about it, you take about a little bit back to the pyramids and the Egyptians. They believe that the body passed.
The body was a vessel, yeah.
The body was a vessel and the soul passed on to the underworld.
Well, here's the thing. Freemasonry requires that you believe in a supreme being. Part of that, I think, is what's also important is the immortality of something about you, your essence, your soul, right. Whatever. Because at some point, the promises that you make in this life need to mean something.
Right.
You're either making them in the name of that supreme being and promising that entity, or you have to atone, you have to be judged after your death for, you know, going back on the promises that you made, the solemn promises that you made when you were alive. So far, it seems...
Yeah, and again, I'm not picking apart the religion. I'm just kind of talking about my beliefs in regards to Scientology and what they believe. And I'm not picking apart. I'm not shitting on it or anything like that. What I'm basically doing is just kind of...
Objectively trying to compare it
to things that we each believe. Yeah. And, you know, in the end, though, we're going to see basically if Scientology is compatible with Freemasonry.
Which is not, it's our opinion. Right. At that point,
it's not what
any Grand Lodge says about Scientology.
So. It also says that person's life transcends a single lifetime and that human beings possess infinite capabilities. So I want to unpack this part of it just a little bit. I would... agree with it a little bit because it says that person's life experience transcends a lifetime. That I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with, and the reason being is because I don't remember anything I did in a past life. And you know what
Maybe
I mean?
Not like, consciously.
Not consciously.
Subconsciously,
okay.
Some of the decisions okay. that you make and okay. some of the biases you have could potentially be tied to that.
Could be also tied to fears, too. Like, if people are scared of guns or scared of dogs or something like that, maybe you got your ass mauled by a pit bull in your last life.
That's exactly what I was going to say next. Your phobias may be left over from...
That is a good point. Like okay.
And there are plenty of religions that believe in reincarnation and past lives and so forth, and we admit them in the Freemasonry, so...
That would be cool as shit, though, if you died in this life and carried on to the next life, remembering what happened in your last life, because let me tell you... Like,
that would be complicated.
You want to talk about, granted, maybe you'll find out in the, well, okay, maybe, you know, I'm just theorizing here. Maybe when you go to the ether or wherever the hell your soul goes after you're dead, you're like, fuck, I made the same mistake I did last time. You know what I mean?
Right, but you only realize it after you're dead.
You only realize it after you're dead. You're like, God damn it, I did it again. Maybe.
What's wrong with me?
Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Where you get up there and just you know, God or the Father of all or whatever you want to call it is just sitting in the chair, like leaning, like just with one hand on his forehead, like
again, George, again. Guy.
With the Picard face palm.
You know, Picard face palm, like this fucking guy, this guy.
Every time.
And you promised me you wouldn't do that shit again.
Yeah, exactly. You were here.
We had this talk already.
Anyway, let's go ahead here. So, the human beings possess infinite capabilities. I agree with that. And I agree with that in terms of a body sense. Because, I mean, what's the percentage that we use of our brain? Like 8%?
Yeah, and I think it's shy of 10.
Could
you
imagine if we used 12?
Oh, 15, and you have like you have Ben Franklin, who was a Freemason, who was a big proponent of the Renaissance man, learning a little bit about everything. So I'm sure he would adhere to that too, that human beings have infinite capability.
Could you imagine just like waking up one morning, leaving the cupboard door open, you know, because you're getting your coffee, turn around and eat the cupboard right in the face, and all of a sudden 20% of your brain kicked on? Holy shit.
You keep slamming yourself with
that would be some
until it works out for you, George.
Well, there's a movie like that with...
It'll be that or a TBI.
I joked before.
It's like some Aeon Flux shit, right? Where she was like smarter than...
Well, I joked around saying like Travolta before because he's a big Scientologist, but there was a movie with him called Phenomenon where he got like, struck by lightning or something and his brain just overdrive and then he died.
No, he had cancer. That's what it was. He had cancer in his brain.
But I thought he got hit by lightning or something first.
Yeah, but he had... It unlocked some potential in his brain.
Really?
And he ended up dying of a brain tumor.
I don't remember that. Oh, I remember when he would like feel the earthquake before it was about to happen and stuff, or when he was able to like slide the pen across the table.
Yeah.
Could you imagine your... Now, mind you, that would be... You could do a lot of good, but you could do a lot of bad with that.
Oh, absolutely. You would
could
do
be
bad.
You could be a malicious son of a bitch. If me? Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
Imagine what I would have done to that woman in the parking lot.
Oh, my God. You could tell that story there. It's a Patreon story.
Invoked rule number two.
You did invoke rule number
mind
two.
Mind your business.
I've always believed that, you know, that
and then there's George's rule number three.
What's that?
FAFO. Anyway, go ahead, kid.
I always believe that 90% of our brain that we don't, quote, use is just, we do use it. It's just science hasn't really gotten around to saying what it's used for. Like, oh, that's just where you encode memories, or that's just where your balance center is, or like whatever. They just haven't quite figured it out yet, because I don't believe that it makes sense that there's just dormant chunks of your brain.
So I don't think it's dormant chunks. This is my personal opinion.
Evolution doesn't work that way.
I don't think it's dormant chunks.
You have an appendix that does absolutely nothing.
Fair enough. I mean, there are vestigial parts of your body, but I don't
use words like that.
Vestigial.
No, I don't
think
that...
Nobody talks like that.
I know.
I don't think that your brain, in a sense... You're not using your whole brain. It's not like dormant areas of your brain that just never kick on. It's, I think, more of the fact that you use portions of your brain, but not at the same time. So, like, if I'm looking at, like, Puppet George, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I really want to go over there and get Puppet George. You know what I mean? But my arms aren't moving. You know what I mean?
But on an fMRI, that's still going to show up. Even if you're considering something and not actually doing it, like, that part of your brain lights up. I just think there's something that 90% does that we just haven't mapped yet, that hasn't shown up on the studies.
Maybe haven't developed the technology to measure it. Like,
it's doing something else, maybe. There's no blood flow there. There's no electrical impulses, but there's something going on
there. What about, like, telekinesis, photokinesis? What's the other one? The ability to actually... pull things towards you. That's actually something that they have looked into.
They've looked into it. I don't believe that it's a thing.
Well, why not, though? If your body's made up of matter, and the air and the atoms around you are matter, and that's matter, why couldn't you bend the matter in your head to bend? Like, use the force, Luke.
Well,
how is it not possible?
Because it's based on our current understanding of physics.
Wi-Fi does it, Kenny. Wi-Fi does
it. No, Wi-Fi does not do that, George.
Science changes, Ken. Science changes every day, Ken.
Okay, all right.
I'll give you a better example.
It is possible.
They have robotic appendages for people.
Sure.
What kind?
That actually you can plug into your brain and move legs.
Yep, and that's a known and understood use of physics and electronics and electrical engineering, and I get it, and it makes sense.
Well, isn't everything electric? Isn't everything
electronically?
Isn't that what electrons do, Kenny?
No, now you're getting...
You mean to tell me that the air is not electrically charged?
I think we're getting way off topic. Yeah, there are like ions. I don't think that your brain can just like...
He thought he was sweating before.
And move them. Prove me wrong.
All right. All right there, guy at the desk with the prove me wrong in the front.
If you follow certain hermetic philosophy and the mind is all and the all is mind, then it potential is there for you to manipulate all with your mind if they are one and the same.
If that's the philosophy and the understanding that you have of the universe.
And right now it is a philosophy. Work. It's a philosophy. Yeah. It's not a science.
Right.
It's philosophy.
Flying planes was a philosophy at one point, too.
I don't think that was a philosophy.
Flying planes.
Might have been a dream.
It was a philosophy.
Philosophy?
Well, that's what Leonardo da Vinci.
Theory.
It was a dream. A hypothesis.
A theory,
if you will. All right, anyway, let's move on. Back into it.
Back to Miskevich.
We're getting
all right, so...
Leon Hubbard. Dianetics with Leon Hubbard.
The reactive mind is thought to absorb all pain from emotional trauma. So... The reactive mind is thought to absorb all pain from emotional trauma. Okay? And the analytical mind is the rational mechanism for which is responsible for consciousness. Okay? The reactive mind stores mental images which are not readily available to the analytical conscious mind. Oh, Jesus.
These are referred to as engrams.
Engrams are painful and debilitating as they are not... They're painful and debilitating as they accumulate. People move further away from their true identity. I prefer
gold engraving.
So we're definitely getting into psychology here. This sounds like some very Freudian.
No, this sounds more like
kind of.
Okay, I'm gonna sound like
subconscious mind.
I'm gonna take the devil's advocate here and be the bad guy in this one. This sounds like Aleister Crowleyism, because Aleister Crowley believed.
I don't know what his thing is. What was his thing?
He believed that it was the do what thou wilt type attitude.
Oh,
you should get rid of, not Satanism.
Okay.
Just more of, well, it wasn't originally. I'll be clear about that.
Okay.
But he believed basically that you're carrying guilt and bad thing, you know.
Baggage.
Yeah. It's like carrying a bag of bricks. If you just put it down, you're fine.
Okay, so
that's
kind of
what I'm picking.
A nihilist kind of.
Yes, that's the way I'm perceiving this. But avoiding this fate is Scientology's.
There you go.
Avoiding this fate is Scientology. So basically, the pain and emotional trauma. If you get away from that, basically it brings you back to your true identity.
Okay, but they take a little bit more of an analytical take on it than Aleister Crowley.
Correct. He did some. No, I'm not comparing.
Yeah,
to
Aleister
Crowley.
No. Yeah,
he was a batshit crazy son of a bitch.
But anyway. Basically, you're trying to get rid of that subconscious past life or current life trauma by studying the teachings of Scientology.
Correct. Okay. Dianetic auditing is one way by which the Scientologist may progress toward the clear state, winning gradual freedom from the reactive mind's engrams, and acquiring certainty of his or her reality as a thetan. Thetan?
Thetan?
Thetan.
Like T-H-E-T-A-N?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's what they believe, the alien tribe that they believe they're a descendant from.
Okay. I can get on board with that. Again, I read the Lost Book of Enki, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that we just. Okay. I'm gonna get my ass chewed apart from all my Christian and super religious friends.
There are a lot of comments coming in. Right.
Here's the thing, though. Okay. Here, let me just say this thing. Okay. I don't. How do I put this?
Gently.
Yeah, gently.
How do I put this? So here's the thing, okay? A belief that we were created by aliens doesn't mean there's not God.
No.
Because the question is, if Scientologists believe that aliens created us, who created them? And we're not even prepared to answer that question.
There's also the fact that, you know, what we call God may just be super, super advanced civilization of some sort. I mean, that's exactly what... I mean, anything that we didn't understand when we were early on in our evolution was the act of deity. Now, because of our understanding of natural laws, we know that if we see a comet, right, or a meteorite, it's not the act of God.
Captain
Caveman! Oh, my
Captain
God.
Caveman.
I think we just clipped a little bit.
Who is...
even after we did a mic check.
Helios?
I answered his question. He's the god
you
of the
did.
Sun in Greek
he did.
Mythology.
Yeah, but he's
still
saying
not
Freemasons can't talk about
but
him.
But I just did.
Helios,
god of the sun, Greek mythology. Spoke
there
about
you go.
Him.
Yeah.
Stick around. I'm not getting off track on this one yet. But we could have this debate all day long.
I thought Captain Caveman was Garrett Wright. But apparently...
No, he's Garrett the Barbarian.
Garrett the Barbarian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's more like a Conan kind
of
figure.
I might be seeing soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Let's see here. Where the hell was I at? God damn it. Oh, here we go. Hubbard's differentiation of the creative mind and the analytical mind forms the basis tenets of Dianetics. The analytical mind is similar to the conscious mind, which processes daily information and events. The reactive mind produces mind's aberrations. Such as fear, inhibition, intense love and hate, various
psychosomatic
ills, which are recorded as engrams.
So it's very similar to the ego and the id from Freudian psychology tradition.
Pretty much. Yeah. Scientology believes that people have hidden abilities which have not yet been fully realized.
Okay.
I get behind that.
It's not that far-fetched so far.
My father always taught my brother and I that we could do anything we put our mind to.
You are no Jedi.
No, he never said that.
It is believed that increased spiritual awareness and physical benefits are accompanied through counseling sessions referred to as auditing. I can get on board with that, too. I you know, there are people, I mean, I bring it no further than the Buddhist monks. When they're able to, like, levitate and set themselves on fire and not freaking scream in writhing pain and just be able to control their their stimuli, if you will, around them, what's happening to them, their bodies and their...
You know, I have seen studies about that, too, about their ability to, like, lower their body temperature or raise it, stuff like that. That's, I mean, that's intriguing.
Which is even, there's talks about their telekinesis abilities, too.
Okay. Can that, I'm a little bit, like, changing your heart rate, I can see that. Moving things with your mind. I don't believe it, man. Change my mind. Show me the evidence.
Anyway, but I do I get on board with that you can put yourself in a certain state of mind that you're able to be calmer and change your what was it the
meditation
show, the secret
a form of meditation
right yeah. Wasn't it like the secret or whatever that damn show was called, the secret, in which like if you portray positivity positivity
you get back what you put out there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's thank a you. Secret. It's also in a certain sense proven by quantum physics.
Thank you.
It's Mr. Science.
Okay. Mr. Science. We're going to have to talk about that
Bill
later.
Bill Nye.
Explain to me how that works later.
Well, it's the same concept as if like you...
Spooky action in a distance kind of stuff?
It's actually been done with water, believe it or not. There's been scientists that actually have done it with water, and they've done like... they'll take like a sample of water from some polluted reservoir, right? And they'll split it. And then all day they'll like say nice things to the water. No, I swear to God, this is like and a scientist like in Japan. Itself. It doesn't clean itself, but like you could look at the what are they called, tetragrams or something, like where when they freeze it, it'll actually make like perfect geometrical shapes and stuff in the water. Yeah. And then the one that they've been basically swearing at, I'll show you the video later. I swear to God, you can look this shit up on yourself. It's a Japanese guy that actually he's done this test that when you say nice things to the water molecules or whatever, or you put a or you put a prayer
sorry,
over
I'm
the,
trying really hard right. to have an open mind.
I'm going
to
show you later, and then you can
you say
eat
nice
shit
things
afterward.
To the water molecules.
Okay. No, but they did like a prayer over one water, and then they were basically like, I hate you, fuck you, and all this thing to the other water. And when they froze it, and then they put the molecules under a microscope, there was actually a significant physiological change in the water molecules.
Okay.
Swear to God. This is even the same experiment I think was done with plants, too, where if...
I have heard of that, where it's like positivity and like talking to plants and singing to them and stuff. Somehow they thrive. Yeah. All right. We'll look over it later. I'll keep an open mind for now.
You know what, Ken?
As a scientist,
it's
should.
A good thing Joe's blocking us.
Yeah, I know. You would you
beat
know,
your
this
ass.
This is like the perfect arrangement because you would hit me a lot more often if it were otherwise.
Anyway, continue.
Boys.
I know. I'm going to turn this podcast
boys,
around.
Boys, fight nice. So anyway, through these counseling sessions called auditing, it is said that people can solve their problems and free themselves from engrams. Okay. This restores their natural condition as theans and enables them to be at cause in their daily lives, responding rationally and creatively and life events rather than reacting to them under the direction of stored engrams.
Okay.
According to those who study Scientology materials, the receive auditing sessions advance from status of pre-clear to clear and operating thean.
Thetan.
Whatever.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Scientology's utopian aim is to clear the planet, a world in which everyone has cleared themselves of their engrams. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of operative aim of all religions, right? Is to make everybody better.
Some people just enjoy being an asshole. Right,
some men just want to watch the world burn.
Some people think it's their business when it's none of their business.
That's right.
And they violate rule number two.
Yeah, we have very simple.
Shout out to the woman at Dunkin' Donuts in Trumbull, Connecticut.
I knew we were going to get
I've
into
done
that.
It. I've broken the Joe's headspace. Mind, see? You can control people by telekinesis.
Mind your business.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
That's really all you got to do.
Brother Bill Powell made a nice little graphic of Brother Josephus's two rules.
Yes,
oh, I think we're going to have to put that on a t-shirt, I think.
Fine by me.
Put it up on the wall somewhere or something, yeah.
Auditing is one-on-one session with Scientology counselor and an auditor. Why can't I talk today?
I don't know.
It bears a superficial similarity to confession or pastoral counseling, but the auditor records and stores all information received and does not dispense forgiveness or advice the way a pastor or priest may do.
Right, so it sounds more like therapy.
I hate that shit. I've been through therapy, and when you're sitting there, and you give them a situation, and you're like, well, what do you think? And they go,
No, what do you think? It depends on what type of therapist you're going to see.
Any of them. I've been to them all. Not that I'm nuts or anything, but I'm just saying. Like,
You've been to them all. Yeah, might be.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
I've been to every type. I've been to the social worker. I've been to the whatever the next step is, all the way up to, you know, just for various reasons. You know, I also don't like people, so I'd get one, then I'm like, no, I don't like him.
Well, maybe that's the root cause. Kind of an asshole. Therapist. It's just that you don't like people.
Touche.
Because therapists are people.
Maybe it's
you're
you.
Walking in. Maybe like you
no,
were.
No, but I'm sorry.
Maybe it's left over from a past life that this whole therapy.
I'm just saying, if I'm going to pay you money, an ooble amount of money, you better give me something for my. Like,
no, the point is for you to come up with the answer.
But I don't. I leave just more pissed off because they didn't give me the answer.
Generally, talk therapy does involve you actually talking.
That sounds like.
I could talk to myself in a goddamn mirror if I wanted to do that then.
No, it needs to be guided by a licensed.
It will be guided.
But you're not okay.
Now back to our program.
Yeah. Now back to Scientology.
He's sweating over there, Joe.
I'm not sweating at all anymore. Actually,
not
I'm
anymore. You were quite a bit. It's,
yeah,
it's
I was
warm up here.
I was crawling around under the table.
If only we had an air.
Ken's getting mad at me.
We had an air conditioner.
I'm not mad.
He's passive aggressively mad.
I'm not at all.
I'm mad about my air conditioner.
You'll know if I'm mad at you.
Oh God. See, it's off the Dunkin' Donuts woman. That's why I brought it up. Now you're gonna be tweaked about the.
She didn't steal my air conditioner.
This is gonna be a weird program for us, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, let's move on here. So anyway, instead the auditor asks, instead, the auditor's task is to help a person discover and understand engrams and their limiting effects of him or herself. Most auditing requires an e-meter, and a device that measures minute changes in electrical resistance through this. Now, see, this is where it's getting a little
minute changes in
resistance. It's like a lie detector.
Yep. Spelled the same way. I'm an idiot. What do you want from me? A device that measures minute changes in electrical resistance through the body when a person holds electrodes and a small current is passed through them.
Like a shock collar.
Like a shock collar.
Like a shock collar.
But this thing
it's
actually
more like an
measures,
electrical resist. Like even when you're measuring like skin.
All right, Ken, you're Mr. Freaking Electrical. Is that something that could be done? Whereas, like, if I get pissed off, the meter will go even higher.
Yeah, it's like a.
That's actually a thing that can happen.
Yeah, you can do that. So I think that's how they work. Like,
wait, so you're saying that your physical state and thoughts and attitude could. Make a scientific
make
change
changes
in
to
electrical
your physiology.
Current,
yeah,
which shows up as an electrical current.
Correct. Yeah, I never said that. Well, no. What I'm saying is, okay, so, all right, skin galvanic response. Yeah, all right, so it's how conductive your skin is, how much you're sweating, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You put two electrodes on your hand, and there's going to be a small amount of current.
Okay.
All right, the machine is going to generate a small amount of current, and then the extent to which your hand... or whatever space your skin between those two electrodes is able to conduct that current governs how much of a skin galvanic response you're having, right? So it could be like that. That's one of the things that they look at during lie detection, for example.
RB said they did it with rice too. The one that was negative turned black. Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about with the... absolutely, with the tree and all that stuff. The tree.
Talking
the water
dirty to the tree.
Talk dirty to the trees.
Talk dirty to the water molecules.
No, but he's saying they did it with rice, too, and the one that they did negative turned black.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll do a little bit of research. Again, I'm going to keep an open mind on this. It just doesn't seem legitimate based
I'm
on
just,
my
I'm just bookmarking the fact that Ken said that your thoughts... an attitude can in some ways, based on your biological reaction to those, manipulate electrical current.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I never said that that's not the case. Right? Stress will destroy your body.
And that, my friend, is how this secret works.
No, I can tell you.
It's the law of attraction.
Firsthand, that stress will destroy your body. I believe these monks that are able to influence their heart rate and their respiration, and their, you know, blood flow and all that kind of stuff by meditation. I'm okay with that. I'm just not okay with using the force.
I was a monk once.
I know.
3 days. Best 3 days of my life.
Yeah, did you change your heart rate?
Probably.
I want to hear about the Z-meter. You boys ready?
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. Scientology believes that watching for changes in the E-meter's display helps locate engrams. Huh. So what do they do? They'll bring up like a topic.
And see how
you react to it.
Yeah, okay. And then if it makes the meter go off, then they start asking you more questions about that.
Okay.
But what they're not telling you is, like, you have to pay for these auditing sessions to the tune of about $10,000 a piece.
God damn.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Really?
That's how they catch
you. Shit.
And then in order to, like, kind of correct the issue, you have to buy these books that are only available through them that if you buy one book, then it ends, and you're like, oh, well, now you need the second book.
Okay.
And then, oh.
Well.
Now you need the third book.
Even including that practice, I still don't see anything that's 100% incompatible.
I was actually just going to make the joke.
There's nothing incompatible so far.
So far.
I just was about to make the joke about when I had to buy ritual books.
I mean, if you're going to make a comparison. These are to the tunes of thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, you also have to consider who their target audience is. And it's usually people of the...
Not us.
It's not for the everyday person, basically.
Right.
Whereas Freemasonry is. Right.
They package it as it is, but they hook on to these celebrities as like their advertising. Kind of like when we, you know, Freemasonry, and I'm not equating the two at all. I'm just drawing a parallel.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
We use George Washington in our advertising. Mm-hmm. We use Ben Franklin. We use a lot of famous brothers in our advertising campaign. So they use Tom Cruise and John Travolta.
But we also use, what's his name, too? The country singer. Brad Paisley.
Mm-hmm. And they use Isaac Hayes.
But that's any organization that's going to use that notoriety to help bring people
in. Right, but I'm just saying it's not exclusive to them. It is allegedly for the common man.
They have, Freemasonry is for the common man, which, costs a little bit of money, but Scientology, their target, I feel, is those are of the quote-unquote elite class.
That might be a misnomer, though. I think there's a Scientology church down the road in New Haven, and it's not like I don't get the feeling that it's like huge nationwide celebrities going in there.
Is that the one right by like Blake Street?
It's in Black Rock. It's like in that section where it turns into Whaley Ave.
Yeah. You want to laugh though? I know which building you're talking about. You went the best
part
of this.
It almost looks like a Masonic.
It was
a Masonic
underneath
lodge,
the label. Right? Yeah. There's a freaking square and compass sitting right there.
Yeah, and I would imagine those are probably the buildings that the church buys up on occasion, because those buildings tend to be available and they're very
That lodge hasn't
suited for their purposes.
Whatever lodge was there was not there. They were out of there before I was a kid, because it became a Hallux furniture store.
So. No, it was a long time ago. It was because it was some other church before that too, I think. But I just don't get the feeling that it's like populated by all Tom Cruise-esque people. Like, I think it's
it was a church after it was a Masonic lodge, because the square and compasses is actually carved into the.
Oh yeah,
building.
It was a purpose-built Masonic lodge. Right. But I mean, I just like maybe it is for the common man. They use people of some notoriety and reputation to let the world know what they're about.
All right. So I'm going to move on. Again, I'm skimming through this because I don't want to go too crazy. Hubbard introduced the Scientology cross. Okay, so for lack of better words, they hijacked the cross and took the cross of Jesus, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
That's what it says here. It says Hubbard introduced the Scientology cross in the 1950s as a central symbol for the church. He subscribed.
That's the symbol, like their logo, kind of.
Correct.
Yeah, it's not the necessarily like the
he subscribed Christian. The 8 points. No, I'm not. Again, I wasn't being derogatory about hijacking.
Oh,
the cross.
It's like the a cross, and then it's like
yeah, it's a
yes,
special.
Yes,
I know. Yeah.
I wasn't being derogatory with hijacking the cross. I'm just saying that the cross was a symbol used. I mean, as it's been used time and time again since the beginning of time, the cross has always been changed and manipulated and perverted, but it, how do I put it?
Repurposed.
There were. Thank you.
Recycle, reused.
So anyway, this cross symbolizing the eight dynamics. And we're going to get into the dynamics about this. And this is Hubbard writes that the survival is moving away from death towards immortality, and that human beings are constantly in search for feelings of pleasure and motivated by the avoidance of pain.
Okay.
Dynamic number one. The first dynamic is the urge towards survival of self.
Self-preservation. Yeah. Okay.
The second dynamic is urge towards survival through sex or children. Okay, so that's
so procreation.
It almost sounds like Maslow's hierarchy of needs type stuff. Here.
This dynamic actually has two divisions. The second dynamic is the sexual act itself, and second dynamic is the family unit, including the rearing of children. The only time I ever rear my child is when I'm sticking my foot in his ass when he's not listening.
Yeah, that's not what it means.
I know. The third dynamic is the urge towards survival through a group of individuals or as a group. Any group or part of an entire class would be considered to be a part of the third dynamic. The school, the club, the team, the town, the nation.
The Lodge example. Of Freemasons.
The fourth dynamic is the urge towards survival through all mankind as all mankind. Okay.
So, preserving the species.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Saving the world if you need to kind of stuff.
The fifth dynamic is the urge towards survival through life forms such as animals, birds, insects, fish, vegetation, and is the urge to survival as these.
And be nice. Be kind to animals. Survive.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Don't let animals go extinct.
Right.
Sixth
dynamic is the urge towards survival as the physical universe and has its components, matter, energy, space, time, from which we derive the word MEST, M-E-S-T. The seventh dynamic is urge survival through spirits or as a spirit. Anything spiritual with or without identity would come under the seventh dynamic. The subheading, this dynamic, its ideas and concepts such as beauty and the desire to survive through these.
Okay.
Would that be like
creating art as a legacy kind of thing?
I was going with a soul because he's talking about spirit.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I was going to go like souls. And then the eighth one. The eighth dynamic is urge towards survival through the supreme being, more exactly infinity. So they call it infinity.
Okay.
The Church of Scientology, this is God
now. Supreme Being is actually pretty far down the priority list, it sounds like.
So, God. The Church of Scientology states that it is no set dogma on God and allows individuals to come at their own understanding of God. In Scientology, vastly more emphasis is given to godlike nature of a person and to the workings of human mind than to the nature of God.
Okay, so there's your first potential sticking point. Is you could theoretically be a Scientologist and not believe in a supreme being.
Well, what they're saying is that vastly, and this is where we're going to have the problem, like you said.
That's what I
said.
The
vastly more emphasis is given to the godlike nature of the person and to the workings of human mind than to the nature of God. So,
right. So that's like the
in
God,
a sense,
God
saying,
is within you. And that's yes. I'm okay with that
Which
philosophy.
Would mean basically some may subscribe that they, that mankind, is God.
Is deity, but that's not compatible with Freemasonry.
Correct.
There has to be a third party supreme being of some sort.
Scientologists believe in the infinity, the allness of all. They recite a formal prayer for total freedom at meetings, which includes these verses. May the author of the universe enable all men to reach an understanding of their spiritual nature.
Okay.
May awareness and understanding of life expand so that all may come to know the author of the universe. And may others also reach his understanding with which brings total freedom. Freedom from war, poverty, and want. Freedom to be. Freedom to do all. And freedom to have. Freedom to use and understand man's potential. A potential that is God-given and God-like. Okay.
I mean, those are all noble aspirations. Right.
And then they commence with, may God let it be so.
Yeah, totally fine. So I think the only issue so far that we would have with somebody who's a Scientologist that's coming up here to petition the Lodge is, do you believe, and this is the same thing we ask everyone, regardless of what their religion is, do you believe in a supreme being?
Correct.
If it's yes, so far I'm okay. If it's no, I'm sorry, then it's not compatible with our tenets.
So I'm not going to lie, brothers. I'm not seeing anything in here that would ban them.
Nothing overt, no.
Nothing that is really sticking out. I mean,
did you happen to find any Grand Lodge opinions on it?
However, here's where you run into some stickiness. So you have, yes, their tenets are, I won't say inconsistent with Freemasonry, except for that one, which potentially could be. But it's an organization that the way they carry these things out would not be considered Masonic behavior. Harassing people, putting them under surveillance.
Not the smear not campaigns that they do. Or, yeah,
not allowing them to leave.
Yep.
Okay. Dissenters are automatically, I forget what they call them. They have a special name for people that don't believe in Scientology.
Like the general public?
Yeah, but they have... It's some weird name, and then they shorten it to, like... It's something person. I forget the name of it, because I've watched all the specials. But
no, we call everybody who's not a Mason the profane world.
You're right. So and we're okay. And
dirty bastards.
And we don't say that. One of our... And this is where I think you could have some conflicts, is a lot of our oaths and obligations not only include an oath and obligation to our brothers, it's usually more especially our brothers, but to all society.
Right.
Where Scientology does not believe in that.
Right.
You are, it's like a disruptive person or something like that is their code word for people that don't believe. And if you speak out against them, they come at you hardcore.
Okay, so that I'll say, you know, there's precedent for that. But George also said during his reading of that Wikipedia article, which may or may not be 100% accurate, at least their aspiration is to help the man, help man as, you know, the entire species.
So, couple things. Ben Lavieri, greetings, brothers from Buxton Lodge 115. Hey, glad to have you with us. Glad you guys can you were able to tune in and check us out.
I think it's La Riviere, but I can't really see that far. The monitor's still on the
ground. Don't worry, Kenny. We're going to get you your little gas piston freaking robotic arm. We're going
to
have...
It's an SP. It's a suppressive person. That's what I was trying to get out to, yes.
Oh, okay. So, now, let me ask a question. Joe, you said you watch a lot of specials on this.
Yes. There was one on HBO a couple years ago that was extremely, extremely good.
This is just maybe my take on it. There have been a lot of shows on the Freemasons too, and half of them are bullshit.
True.
So, do we actually have cases of this actually being like, this has happened, or is this like one person's clandy ass who got kicked out of Scientology and now we're going to do a tell-all? Again, I don't know much about Scientology.
No, there's
I'm not shitting on Leah Remini or anything like that.
No, they have actually produced documents from the Church of Scientology that's kind of like a handbook on
that's
how to deal with these
people.
To the point where it's a standard operating procedure.
Okay.
It's not just somebody going rogue. It's if this happens, this is how you handle
That's what my question was.
And pretty much they browbeat the IRS into giving them religious status so they could not have to pay taxes. Like, that's a whole backstory, too.
Right.
But let's also not... One thing to point out is L. Ron Hubbard, the guy that created this religion, it didn't exist before he wrote Dianetics, was a science fiction author.
Okay.
So it'd be like George Lucas creating a religion. Or Gene Roddenberry creating a religion.
Okay.
And that's like this whole background story, these Thetans or whatever they're called, however you pronounce
it. It's basically from a science fiction novel.
Yes.
Science fiction.
I think I could do it. I could do
so
it.
There's enough there that, and like I've joked with the Puppet George voice about Shelley Miscavige, who was the head of Scientology's wife, David Miscavige's wife, Shelley, spoke out against the church and has never been seen since.
See, Ken, you said people can't do telekinesis. Look what I did.
Yeah, okay. You just, yeah.
Now stick it back up without touching it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you couldn't get it.
So I didn't really find much about Freemasonry and Scientology, but I did find like a Quora article where somebody asks, can you join a Freemason lodge if you are a member of the Church of Scientology? Uh-huh. And one of these, one of the responses is actually from somebody who is a Freemason and a member of the Church of Scientology. He says, I am a Freemason, so I can answer that yes, you can. Mm-hmm. I actually joined Freemasonry initially so I could study more about the history of the Mormon temple ceremony, but I got so much out of it that it became something that I really enjoyed. I'm not as involved in it as I am in LDS and Scientology, but I have contributed enough to be a master of a lodge once. Mm-hmm. Scientology has some similarities with Masonry, such as not imposing a specific belief about the nature of God, which is true, mm-hmm. but allowing you to come to your own conclusion. Mm-hmm. Also, there are some elements of ancient religion covered in both, such as the dichotomy principle. There is no good without evil, no light without darkness, etc. Mm-hmm. Actually, Mormonism has a dichotomy principle as well. In the endowment ceremony, and in 2 Nephi 2 L, Ron Hubbard does a good job of explaining it in Scientology 8-80. So there you go. At least one Scientologist out there is a Freemason.
Jacob Drake also brought up a good point on YouTube. He said there are Star Wars books that promote the meditative practices of the Jedi close enough to a religion.
It's fiction.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just say, okay.
The Jedi don't exist.
One thing I don't do.
They legitimately don't exist. No matter
how
many.
I know they don't exist, but their tenants are something that we would carry, that you can carry into real life.
Yeah, because they were borrowed from, like, real monks.
Yeah.
So, okay. In essence, they're taking the meditative practice of, say, like, your Cistercian monks and your Buddhist monks and your Franciscan monks and just slapping Jedi on it and go, oh, here's the Jedi.
Okay. Yeah, so, let me...
It came from...
I mean, I'm a nerd. You know I love
Jedi. I'm surprised you're actually
so, let me ask this question now.
But
okay.
I realize it's not real.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, though. But now you were
Shawn
talking.
Michaels didn't really kick Marty Jannetty through a window.
Yes.
No,
it's
but
fake.
But he did do the Montreal Screwjob. So
yes, I saw that in a biography last.
So
week.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, yes. You were just talking about this guy Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard.
How he was a science fiction guy, and now he made this church.
Correct.
Let me ask you a question. You've known me for a long time. You know all of my flaws and stuff. What if one day I decided I'm going to be a priest?
Absolutely not.
Hold on. Hear me out.
Okay.
Would that... So now when you end up going to my church and you see me up there and I'm like...
Wait,
would that discredit
me? Or you decide to start your own religion?
Yeah, those are two different things.
Those are two
okay.
very...
Okay, all right. I do the Lost Book of Enki. What if I wanted to start a religion that believed that the Sumerians were actually created by the Anunnaki and the Anunnaki are coming back to Earth to come back to humanity? That was my belief in my religion, and I created
it. They would put that on Channel 54, the History Channel, and call it Ancient Aliens. It already exists.
Here's the thing. We have freedom.
Now, if you are...
But I'm saying, would that...
So
instantly discredit
okay,
me.
Okay, so let's say, because we've all seen the pictures of the Anunnaki and different civilizations where it looks like somebody in a spaceship,
mm-hmm.
and you created some kind of a religion where
right.
the baptismal practice was you get put in this tube that looks like the spaceship thing and they spin you around,
uh-huh.
I'd have you freaking committed.
Well, you got that idiot who come up with the religion of the spaghetti fucker, whatever the hell it's called. What is it?
Flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, whatever.
That's just a mockery.
It's not real. For money.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a total mockery. It's not a real religion.
I don't pay attention to shit. Yeah, so when you guys have made mention of it before, I'm like...
Yeah, it's basically godless hippies making fun of people that have faith.
There you go.
Okay,
which is not compatible with Freemasonry.
That's true.
But I'm just saying.
No, if you decide to go out and start. So okay, I mean, let me put
people,
something different on you.
Let me just go this way. Okay, can I just real quick?
Please go.
People
ahead.
Change every 7 years per se. The things I liked 7 years ago,
agree,
are not what I like now. Like the thing, like, and I'm sure 7 years from now, I think it's a rule of seven, right? I think it's a rule of seven, right? And then you have people have a midlife crisis and buy Corvettes and dumb shit.
I still like Star Wars and pro wrestling.
But I'm saying, like, you're already past your midlife crisis, though. So
this is my midlife crisis.
I think Star Wars wrestling was.
You get to see it live on YouTube. You can get a deeper peek for as little as $5 a month by joining Patreon.
I seen it.
No, but, so...
I'm just saying that I don't think that people's interests and things and ambitions change. Yes. So I don't want to shit on this guy and be like, oh, well, he was a science fiction novelist. Yeah, okay, I was a fucking Yellow Pages salesman. Like, what difference does that make?
It doesn't really matter what you did before.
Is that so you can stack him on your chair and sit on him? Did you keep the extras? No, but here's right. Let me ask you this. Let me turn it around on you.
Got me a bastard. I got nothing.
So it's no secret that I went and did my 3-day monastic retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I had come back and said, you know what? I realized something about myself, and this is the lifestyle I want to live. I'm going to go live with them.
Right.
You'd think I was crazy.
No.
To a certain extent. No,
I would.
However, okay, you might not. We can debate that. But if I came back and said I was so moved, I'm starting my own religion.
That would be different.
Power to you.
There'd be whispers.
We have freedom.
There'd be whispers.
We have freedom of religion.
I'd have my own channel on Discord, which you can get access to by joining Patreon for as little as $5 a month. I'd have my own channel. People are like, oh my freaking God, he's going to be like the next David Koresh, or
no.
He's going to be the next
Josephus.
Brother Josephus.
Yeah. No.
Only two rules.
There's a difference. If you said, I'm going to start my own religion, I'd be like, okay, tell me about it. And if it was like some crazy shit, like I'm going to marry a bunch of cats and shit, yeah, that's going to probably throw a red flag to me.
Hold on.
But like, yeah, I know.
Why not dogs? Dogs are so superior. Dogs are so superior.
They are.
Oh man.
No, but here's the other thing. So there's more to it. So it's a science fiction writer that mocked religion. That in essence, you can find things where him saying that religion was bad and was just a money making scheme, and then starts a religion.
Dr.
Remulek. Dr. Remulek. Calling Dr. Remulek.
Dr. Charlie Cattermole. Hey guys, great podcast. EA as of us. Hey, congratulations.
Congrats, Dr.
Welcome,
Charlie.
Welcome, brother.
Hopefully somebody gets the Dr. Remulek.
Somebody will at some point. They just got to be over the age of 50.
Yeah. No, you don't need to be over the age of 50. You a-hole. Rule number one.
Charlie. I guess for me it would be, again, I'm kind of, believe it or not, I'm actually a pretty laid-back person and let people just, you do what you want. Like, it's not, your life is not mine to live. For the most part, right?
Yeah, but you're
just don't tell me what to do,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you.
That's
right.
Kind of
if
like
I started
my...
bilking people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you wouldn't be like, something's weird here.
Bitch, where's my cut? Or I swear to God,
yeah,
no,
exactly. Let me live in your giant mansion.
No. I definitely would check you on that. But
I mean,
saying,
if I
like...
became the next Joel Osteen, and I'm sitting there in the Astrodome, you know who Joel Osteen is, right?
No.
Okay, he's one of those televangelists. That are like, send me your money and blah, blah, blah.
So who's at fault then in this situation? Okay. This guy, Hubbard, created a religion, which to me, everything I read is totally fine. Like, I think that's right in line.
Okay.
But the people below him are now charging thousands of dollars and now having to change.
He was when
down.
He was alive.
Yeah, he started a lot of that, I think.
He literally started this Sea Org thing. So that he could constantly stay out in international water so he couldn't be arrested for the things that he was doing.
Oh. Hmm. Well, that just shot my argument to shit. No, but...
I know what you're saying.
In other situations, right, if Joe wanted to create a religion, we call it Josephusism.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I like it.
And me and Ken were underneath you, and we were subscribed to everything you were preaching and all that shit, and... But Ken decides to go rogue, and he's like, dude, I can make this a Ponzi scheme with my brand new rig over there that I'm so happy about.
Right.
And I can funnel money out of people.
He'd be the Brigham Young to my Joseph Smith.
But who would be at fault? The person who created the religion or the people he brings in underneath him?
Who is at fault? The con man or the people he cons?
Thank you.
The con man.
No, not the people he cons. I'm talking about like...
If
Ken was the shitbag and it was your religion, does that mean the whole religion is shit or just the one shitbag?
You made me a cardinal, but you're the Holy Father. Like, who's at fault?
That's my question.
Right,
that's
but if your I'm teachings questioned. Were consistent with my teachings, then we'd both be.
Then we'd both be, yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe he's just a guy trying to take advantage of your clout.
Well, that would be more likely.
Yes, but these practices, L. Ron Hubbard wrote all these SOPs and practices that they're carrying out, even though he's not alive.
I'm aware. So I'm aware. I'm not using, I'm just making a separate, we're having a conversation off of the main
okay.
one. I would have to subscribe. Well, let's kind of wrap it up. We'll do our final little assessment on this. And I'm going to subscribe. I'll let Kenny go last because he's usually the naysayer.
Okay.
Fucker. I'm going to say that everything that I've read on paper so far, with the exception of the stories and shit that Joe has said, I'm reading just off of Wikipedia. I'm going to say that if you're a Scientologist, you're good to be a Freemason. And as long as you believe in the supreme being. As long as you believe in an overarching God and that. Don't walk into a Masonic lodge and be like, I'm a Scientologist and I believe I am God.
Well, you can get into the apotheosis of George Washington, but that's a whole other topic. All right. Just saying.
That's
so,
a good point.
I will agree with you on the points of, based on what you read and on its surface, it does not appear to be inconsistent with Freemasonry.
Right.
However, based on what I know about the behind-the-scenes stuff and some of the origins, because I've watched just about everything on it. I've read a lot on it. And yes, I understand your point of there's a lot of bad stuff about Freemasonry out there.
Uh-huh.
Point taken, valid point. But based on what I have seen, actual footage of, I would say it's not consistent.
Okay.
Now, could this be a smear job by somebody? Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you kind of take these documentaries with a grain of salt because, like you said, there's a bunch on us. However, right. It seems very cultish to me. And okay. I think it can actually be harmful to some of its members. That's my opinion based on things that I've read or seen. So in that regard, I would vote thumbs down until more information were provided.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to agree with both of you guys if such a thing is possible.
Okay.
And here's why. Because we are all charged to guard the Westgate. Okay?
Okay.
So your interview with a man. Okay, so the religion in general, right, on paper, mm-hmm. like you said, Scientology is not incompatible with Freemasonry. If somebody came to Lodge and said, hey, I want to meet with you guys. I'm interested in learning more about Freemasonry, possibly joining a Lodge. I'm a Scientologist. Not going to have an issue with that offhand.
Mm-hmm.
If during our typical meet and greet, getting to know that individual, we start to see things that aren't compatible with Freemasonry,
mm-hmm.
we're all charged with guarding the West Gate. That's mm-hmm. going to be our recommendation. If in the process of, at least in our jurisdiction, interviewing that individual, one of the things we have to ask is, do you believe in a supreme being? If they say no, we're guarding the West Gate. You're not going to be able to become a Freemasonry in this jurisdiction.
Fair point.
So I believe our process as Freemasons when we're investigating new petitioners will mitigate any risks associated with bringing somebody who's of the Scientology faith mm-hmm. into the fraternity.
And here's where if I could pile on that just yeah. for a moment, where I agree with you, and this is why I am in favor of simple public background checks for our members when yeah. they apply, because yep. if these behaviors and actions that I commented on as far as harassing people,
right,
if you're going to have complaints.
Oh, if you have an arrest
yeah,
record,
you've done that,
you got a record,
there's, that's going to show up okay. in a public search.
Yep.
Okay.
And that would help weed out those individuals, regardless of religion. But if you had, you know, certain people that were constantly harassing people or taking things to a higher, I wanted to say higher degree, but obviously that could be confusing yeah. if I use that terminology.
Yep. Yep.
But if you take it to a higher level and really like start harassing people where it's kind of stalkerish, there's going to be a record. There's yep. going to be complaints.
And that is
that
not
will
consistent
come up. And that is not consistent yep. with Freemasonry, which should come up in some type of background check. So I think it comes down to, I think the wisest thing here is guard the West Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research. Do your due diligence. Don't just let anyone in.
And do a simple background check. Or if yeah. you have a brother that's a police officer, maybe you already do this kind of thing in your lodge, and that should probably, I mean, then we're doing the best we can. You could have Scientologists that are Freemasons, and regardless of what religion you are, if you happen to have a criminal record, you're not going to become a Freemason.
Exactly.
If you're harassing
people. Just adding on to that, too, and I know me and Ken kind of threw back and forth the issue with the God worship part of it might run into a little bit of an issue with us. I had actually had a brother reach out to me, and he was somebody who was of a different religion that isn't a normal religion, if you will. And he said, you know, how do we go about to find out if this person is compatible with Freemasonry? We're having the investigation. And I guess the person was he believes that this person is of this religion, but he's not 100% sure. And I said, one of the easiest ways to find out.
Ask him.
Well, I guess he did ask, but they were not very forthcoming. So the way I would have handled it is when you do the investigation, be like, we need to ask, what is your particular religious preference? Because when we obligate you, we need that book of faith.
We'd like to have that book there. So that
right then and there, you're going to have it. I don't know if the Church of Scientology actually has a Bible. So
I think Dianetics is, in essence, their Bible, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying that if you don't have a book of faith...
You might not have a preference, in which case, you know, the Bible might be fine for you. I mean, and we've done that before for certain.
Just thinking, like, you know, to kind of find out if these person, if whoever it may be, Scientologist or whatever, subscribes to a supreme being, whatever. It could be fucking anybody. It could be God, Odin.
We're really not supposed to care what your religion is. Right. Just do you believe in a supreme being should be sufficient. But you know what? You're right, because somebody could theoretically be a Satanist and say, oh, yeah, I believe in a supreme being.
Yeah.
And if you know nothing about their religion, now you got a Satanist in your lodge. So, yeah, that's a tough
one. You have
to
get to know the person.
And yeah, ask exactly. Ask them what is your... what's your book of preference? So when we obligate you, we know which one to open. If they say, you know...
The Necronomicon.
Yeah, no.
Is that a Transformer?
No.
What do you say, brothers? We good?
Book of the
We're
dead.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got everything. Again, we're just going to say like and subscribe to us and to join Patreon. It's on the Freemasons Podcast community page on Facebook. Yep. I believe if you also go to
Patreon,
link is in YouTube as well. If you go to our
it's on the channel header.
It's on our channel header. Yeah, so you can cop in there too. And I think that's it. We'll cover something next time. I'm trying to get Bruce Belmore up here.
That would be awesome.
Working on that. So
busy guy.
But anyway, for the Freemasons Podcast, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I am Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, friends.